Let's stand and sing this morning. It's 381 in your hymn book. This world, it's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus many years ago. I know he'll see me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open. Over in the glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home.
Over in the glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. Oh, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know, Lord, I have no friend like you. Oh, if heaven's not my home, Lord, what will I do when your angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore? Amen. God bless you this morning. Is that how you feel? Amen. It's hard to feel at home here these days, isn't it? Amen. Well, God bless you. This evening, Lord willing, for the evening service at 6:30, we'll be having a prayer meeting, and then we'll go into the communion service and foot washing after that. So be in prayer for that service.
Also wanted to announce, Lord willing, 4th of July weekend, we'll be having special meetings Friday evening, Saturday evening, and Sunday morning. Brother Donnie Reagan will be here preaching for us. There will not be an evening service that 4th of July weekend, so we'll remember that. And Lord willing, we're going to have a pitch-in dinner on Saturday morning / afternoon, kind of in between there, probably from about 11 o'clock to about 3 o'clock. We're not 100% sure where we're having the pitch-in dinner at this point. If we get the church that we're looking at, Lord willing, there is a fellowship area in the basement and some room outside where we could potentially have it. So we're not sure if we'll have it on those grounds or if we'll try to rent another location. But just keep those services and all that in prayer. We did meet the deacon brothers and the trustee brothers, and I met with the people at the church we've been looking at on Silver Street Friday evening, I believe, and we talked with them some of the details of the potential lease with an option to buy that after the lease. And so they're presenting that before their church this morning to vote on. So let's just remember that in prayer, especially this morning as well. It's a beautiful building. It's quite a bit newer than this and in a lot better condition. Has a baptistry and just a lot of different things that I think will actually work out better for our congregation. So just continue to keep that in prayer. We'll keep you posted as we know more information on that. I've got several prayer requests this morning. Sister Buckles, she's in the hospital, and she's actually doing better, but they still want to keep her there at least another day. So I want to remember her in prayer. Brother Joel and Sister Christy and their family are traveling this morning. I want to remember them in prayer. And Brother Joel's not feeling well, so I know it's hard to travel when you're not feeling well. And also, Sister Christy's Uncle John, the doctors don't give him long to live, so I want to remember him in prayer. How many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Arnie, would you come this morning and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? Good to be in church again this morning.
Amen.
David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for a grace and a mercy that reaches down to where we are. We're so thankful, Lord, that we can know what your will is and we can understand the word that's coming for us, and we're grateful for the revelation that you brought us, that you're among us and what you're doing in your people, Lord. You've come down yourself to live in a little humble bride, and we're so grateful for that. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you're working with this church and with Brother Nathan and all the needs that are being met. And I pray, Lord, that the ones who need a touch in their bodies this morning, that you would help them. We know there are many needs. We can't mention them all, but you're aware of each one. You know our name. You know our phone number. You know our address. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch us fresh and anew today. We can't go by yesterday's manna, Lord. We want fresh manna today. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing that is resting upon the ministry of this glorious message. And I pray that you would help us to continue to have our hearts open to what you're showing to your little bride. We love you today, Lord, because you first loved us. And Lord, the prophet said, I've often exhausted his mercy, but we could never exhaust your grace. And we stand on that today, Lord, as a little predestinated bride. Keep us and help us to walk close to you and cause us to continue to love you more today than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, saints. Like Brother Nathan said, it's good to be gathered together in the house of the Lord. I'm glad to be gathered with what I think is some of the bride of Jesus Christ gathering here together, loving each other and loving the Lord. So this morning, we're going to start through the next two or three Sundays, or next three, in fact. We're going to read the 37th chapter of Psalm. We're going to read the first 10 verses this morning, with all of us reading the 10th verse together. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as a new day.
Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass.
Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil.
For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. God bless you, and you may be seated.
Amen. Brother Buckles, have you got a special for us this morning?
Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
The Lord is still good.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Just couldn't live without him, could we? Oh my, it's just wonderful to have the presence of God coming across your soul, your spirit, your mind. Oh, it's just wonderful. People just don't realize what they're missing whenever they don't keep the victory, do they? Yes, sir. You say victory? Yes, you can keep the victory.
Amen.
Amen. It just takes praying any way you want to. I pray sometimes on my knees, other times walking, other times in the rocking chair, but I still pray.
Amen.
I can see. It's 100. One sat alone by the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and he fills the life with glory, and all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. So men today, so men today have found the Savior able. They could not conquer passion, lust, and sin. Their troubled heart had left them sad and lonely. When Jesus came and dwelt himself within. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom
and he fills the life with glory. All is changed, and all is changed, and all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Amen. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. I believe we've got a special this morning as well from Sister Leah Leek and Sister Anna Pierce, if they come at this time. Appreciate that this morning. Amen. God bless you. I don't know if you noticed or not, but Brother Arnie said in his prayer, he not only knows our name, he knows our address. Amen. So I'm sure they didn't know he was going to say that, and he didn't know they was going to sing it, but God always works on both ends of the line, doesn't he? Amen. God bless you this morning. Number 613 in your hymn book, if the brothers would come at this time, take up the offering. Oh, there's a light in the window, and the table spread in splendor. Oh, someone's
at the door. This world's been a wilderness, but I'm ready for deliverance. Oh, and Lord, I've never been this home before. Oh, I can see my family gather, those sweet faces all familiar, but no one old or feeble anymore. Sometimes this lonesome heart gets crying, feel I've spread my wings while flying, 'cause I'm never. Think about it this morning. I can see my family gathered, those sweet faces so familiar, but no one's old, no one's feeble anymore. Sometimes my lonesome heart gets crying. Church, I feel like spreading my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this home. Let's stand and sing it. Sing a light, light. It's just about home time. Oh, and I can see my father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Oh, and Lord, I've never. Oh, yes, Lord. Shake somebody's hand while we sing it. Faces
so familiar, but no one's old or feeble anymore. Oh, my lonesome heart gets crying, feel like spreading my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. I can see my father standing. This world's been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Oh Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
Amen. Is that how you feel this morning? Amen. How many enjoyed last Sunday, the sudden secret catching away of the church?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Arnie had texted me after the service. He said that tape had a pitchfork on every sentence, I think, pitchfork full, and just a lot of stored up food in due season. Amen. It was good. So we're looking forward to that sudden secret catching away to go home, aren't we?
Amen.
Amen. It won't be on your local news. Won't be on the internet. The Pope won't know about it. A lot of great national leaders won't know anything about it, but there'll be a little bride of Jesus Christ that's waiting for him, that barefooted bride that he talked about. Amen. God bless you this morning. Let's turn, if you would, to St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Want to look at a little thought of move back all the doubt. Move back all the doubt. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Brother Branham said the only thing that could save them, they was afraid of. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of a good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Now this phrase, if I remember correctly, "be not afraid," is said 365 times in the Bible, or at least a combination of "be not afraid" and "fear not." So that for once for every day of the year, you've got Jesus or some scripture in the Bible telling you, "Be not afraid, fear not. Why should we be worried?" Verse 28, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." Let's just bow our heads together, if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this morning, I just ask you, Lord, to come in the service. Lord, we already feel your presence here. Lord, we just want to make you welcome in our midst. Lord, if there's anything that would be wrong, any besetting sin, Lord, in your people, Lord, in myself or in any individual, anything that would hinder us from a closer walk to you, Father, may you just purge it from us this morning. Lord, may you come with your eye salve and open up our eyes, Father. If we've made any mistakes that we're not aware of, Father, may you come and may you just cleanse us. Lord, may you take complete control of the service, Lord. May you have preeminence in every way, Father. Lord, be with every song that's sang, Lord, every word that's spoken. If I would go to say something that would be unpleasing to you, Lord, may you stop my mouth. And Lord, if there's something that you would want me to say, help me not to hold back, Father. Lord, anoint me to speak, Lord, but also anoint the people, Lord. Anoint their ears, but not only the ears, also their hearts to receive. And Lord, as we read the scriptures and the quotes, Lord, may you just quicken the word to us. May it be more to us than just text on a page, or may it be something more to us than just words that were spoken many years ago, but may it be life to us.
Amen.
Lord, it's more necessary to us than our daily food, Lord, this spiritual food that we've received. Lord, where would we be without it, Father? Lord, we thank you for sending a prophet in this age, Lord, to restore us back to the truth that we had lost. Oh, I don't know where we'd be without it, Father. We'd still be worshiping you in titles or all kinds of confusion and things. But Father, Lord, you sent us the truth in this age to restore us back. Lord, help us to not let it become common to us. Or Lord, but let us just, Father, may we yield to it, Father, and give way to it, Lord. May we put it first in our life, in our decisions, in our choices. May we stay behind your word, Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
amen.
God bless you, and you can be seated. This is a very familiar story that we read this morning. Most of the Sunday school children know it. Jesus coming and walking on the water, and Peter standing there in the boat, and here he is. He sees Jesus, and he says, Lord, if that's really you, you just speak, and I'll come walking to you on the water. His faith had moved to a point to where he felt like he could do this. He could accomplish something great. And with his faith being stirred, he speaks this in his heart, and he begins to step over the boat as Jesus calls to him. And, you know, many times we criticize Peter because that he began to doubt when the waves got a little high and when he began to get a little scared and his circumstances begin to change. He began to doubt and he began to sink as he began to doubt. And many times we want to criticize Peter, but one thing we should be able to give Peter that many times we can't even give ourselves is at least he got out of the boat. Many times we get so secure in whatever it is, our little comfort zone or our little bubble, and we're scared to fellowship with anybody, or we're scared to do anything, afraid we're going to be deceived, or we're scared to step out in faith and accept our healing, or we're afraid, so scared for our children that they're going to be lost instead of applying the token and placing it in God's hands, and we worry, and we're scared to death, you know, of all kinds of things out here in the world. You start listening to the news and it'll make you scared to death. Everything that's out here, one time they'll say that's bad for you, and the next time they'll say no, it's good for you, this over here is bad for you, and you're scared to eat or do or touch anything because of all the bad news that they put out there, and people constantly living in fear. But Jesus keeps telling us, be not afraid. Fear not. And at least Peter had the faith to step out of the boat onto the seas. Most of us, if we had been out there, I wonder if we could have mustered that much faith to step over the side of the boat and not just in peaceful water, but in the middle of the storm. And here he goes, and he begins to step on the waves, but then the circumstances begin to change. Many times in our own life, when we're sitting in church and we feel the presence of the Lord like we do this morning, and we're surrounded by believers, and we're worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth, and we feel his presence come down, feel like we could run through a troop or leap over a wall, feels like everything's just right, and it's so much love surrounding us with the other believers in the church, and we're ready to jump up and commit to do anything for God. But then we walk out of these doors and the pressures of life begin to set in, and we realize, we look around at our work and we don't see any other believers, and we begin to get a little worried, and they begin to criticize us and make fun of us and make threats about things, and we look around, we see all the misery, and we don't feel his presence maybe sometimes the way we'd like to, and we begin to get afraid like Peter, and we begin to sink back, maybe not into the sea, but we begin to sink back into our old condition. That maybe you came to an altar somewhere and you got the victory, and maybe you were on fire for a while and you were in revival mode, and then maybe another revival came and it kept your fire burning a little longer, and then all of a sudden circumstances in your life begin to change. You begin to get a little busier at work, or that somebody in the family begin to get sick and your time begin to be consumed a little more, or you begin to give a little bit more vent to your hobbies than you did giving God preeminence in your life with your time and things, and you begin to sink back into your old condition if you're not careful. Brother Branham said we shouldn't just live from revival to revival to revival. I know some of the young people around here, they live from camp to camp and youth meeting to youth meeting, but the Christian walk is more than that. Amen. I appreciate camps. I appreciate revivals. I appreciate young people's meetings. But if that's all that your life is, just from this 6 months to, oh, if I can just get over to this meeting over here or get over here to this or that, it's got to be more than that. Amen. It's a daily walk. We go to the camps and we go to the youth meetings and we go to the revivals so that we can get the fire lit. But once the fire's lit, don't let it go out between each revival and each meeting. And don't just be one of these Christians that, oh, if I can just make it to Sunday morning, I'll be all right. But Monday through Saturday, it's just a struggle. A Christian life can be a life of victory 7 days a week. Amen. If we can just yield to him. You don't have to wait for Wednesday. I'm glad to see our Wednesday night crowd growing. We've been having a good Wednesday night crowd, and I'm glad for that. But you don't have to wait for Wednesday night to have the victory. Monday and Tuesdays, he's still Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. A lot of people, you know, and I don't want you to get to the spot where I appreciate when you contact me for prayer, you contact me for counseling. That's what I'm here for. I appreciate that you have confidence in me in that way, and I want to be there for you in that capacity. But don't get to the spot where you depend so much on me that you bypass the Lord Jesus to come to me. I'm not your intercessor, and I'm not your mediator.
Amen.
A little quiet in here this morning. But I'm not here to lift Nathan Bryan up or promote Nathan Bryan. So I'm not here to promote anything but the Lord Jesus Christ and this message that we've received in this age. If you're here for something else, then maybe you came in the wrong building this morning. We're here to promote Jesus Christ and the message of the hour, which we believe that Christ is the Word made manifest in each age. I'm not here for you to look at me and say, oh, what a great man, what a great something or other. The only thing great on this platform is the Lord Jesus Christ. No offense to Brother Layton or myself. There's nothing great in me. The only thing great that I can do is if I yield myself to Him and He can do it through me. The Power of Decision, 1955. He says, here we are. We're at the borderland. Here's the promise. Let's get it. God promised it. Move back all the doubt. Let the Holy Ghost come in. The power of God. Now, Peter had reached a spot to where he was able to move back the doubt temporarily. And he steps out in faith onto the water. And then the waves begin to get a little higher. And the wind begins to blow a little stronger. And his circumstances begin to get a little bit more difficult. And he begins to look to the left and to the right. There was his first mistake. It didn't matter how high the waves was. It didn't matter how strong the wind was or what his circumstances. This morning, it doesn't matter what the doctor told you or what your banker has told you or what the stockbroker has told you or what your boss has said that you might lose your job or what condition that you're in financially or maybe your family seems like it's falling apart. Don't look at that. You keep your eye on Jesus. Don't look to the left and to the right. Don't look. Many times people have a little pity party for themselves and they live looking at their circumstances. And that's all you get around them. That's all they want to talk about. Their circumstances. This happened and that happened. And oh my, this catastrophe and this sickness and this disease and this problem over here. And there's problems in this church and problems in that church. And did you hear what so-and-so said? And did you hear about what so-and-so is doing over here? Don't look to the left and to the right and worry about all that. You keep your eyes centered on Jesus, and everything will be all right. The problem that Peter had wasn't that he didn't believe in Jesus. He had faith that Jesus could walk on the water. He had faith that Jesus could reach out and save him. The problem was that he didn't have confidence enough in his own faith that when troubles began to arise, he began to look at the circumstances instead of just depending on Jesus.
Amen.
Brother Branham says this in Jesus Christ the Same Yesterday, Today, and Forever in 1957. He said, I challenge the devil, that great black shadow of doubt that would cause the people to be weary and discouraged, that he'll leave those people alone while they're sitting here under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can't make statements like this unless you can back it up. If you do, you'll either get yourself in trouble or you'll fall flat on your face. But he had an anointing that was with him that he knew when the presence of the Lord was there, he was able to make a challenge like this. And he says, I challenge the devil, that great black shadow of doubt that would cause the people to be weary and discouraged. So many people today, that's the condition they sit in. They're weary. They're discouraged. They're afraid. They're in fear that somebody's going to hurt them because they've been hurt so many times before. There's people that have been hurt by church leadership or hurt by individuals in the church, and they're scared to death to have confidence in anybody else because they've been hurt before. There's people that maybe they've been hurt by family relations or maybe they've been hurt by friends, and they're scared to death to have confidence in a friend or to have confidence in a family member anymore. Don't you realize that's the devil trying to get you to fear and be afraid? He said, I challenge the devil,
that great black shadow of doubt that would cause the people to be weary and discouraged, that he'll leave those people alone while they're sitting here under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want deliverance, there's deliverance to be had this morning. Not because Nathan Bryant's here, not because he studied, you know, through the night, or not because of whatever the presentation that I would do, but because Jesus Christ is here, because he promised us that he would be, that wherever two or three are gathered together, he'd be in our midst if we're gathered in his name. We're gathered in his name this morning, so he made us a promise that he'd be here. So if you're living in fear this morning, if you're living in doubt, if Satan has you discouraged all the time and it's hard for you to have confidence in anybody because other friends have forsaken you, or other friends have hurt you, or people in other churches have let you down and let you down, I'm here to tell you there's one that'll never let you down. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. I might disappoint you. I wouldn't do it intentionally, but I might forget to shake your hand out here. I might make an appointment with you that I couldn't keep, but he'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. Looking at the unseen, 1959. And he says, now you say, what are you doing, Brother Branham? He said, I'm waiting for some of you people out there to touch the high priest. I'm just as helpless can be. Now, I want you to notice, I'm going to read you three quotes from this sermon. And these quotes are just in a matter of a few minutes apart. Three different quotes, but I want you to notice the change in the quotes. He says, first of all, he said, what am I waiting on? He was waiting on the people for somebody out there to touch the high priest. You can come and touch me this morning. There's not a lot of virtue there. You can come up here and kneel at the altar. That's wonderful. We should do that if we felt led to. But, you know, if you can touch Jesus, that's the main thing. Amen. If you can touch Jesus this morning, he said, I'm waiting on somebody to touch the high priest. Oh, if you can touch the hem of his garment this morning. The little lady said, oh, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Whatever your circumstance this morning, it may look bleak, it may look miserable, it may look like there's just no hope for you. Touch the hem of his garment one time and see what happens. Now he says, here he is, Brother Branham, just the man part of Brother Branham. He's standing there. He said, I'm just as helpless can be. See, he couldn't look and tell you all down through your life, back and forth, and all those things of his own will. He couldn't heal people of his own will. He said in the 1960s there, he said there was his mother laying dying. He said, now people have called me a healer. And he said, if I was a healer, I would certainly go and heal her. But he said, I can't do it until he tells me. Now that shouldn't stumble us, because Jesus Christ, when he was here in a flesh body, he said, I do nothing unless the Father shows me. And he was the only man that ever stood in shoe leather, the Lord Jesus Christ, that could say, I always do that which pleases the Father. I can say I sometimes do that which pleases the Father, and that I try as much as I can to do that which pleases the Father, but I can't stand up here before you and say that I always do that which pleases the Father, because a lot of times this guy gets in the way. And if you'll be honest with yourself, you can't say it either. But we are striving to do what pleases the Father. And he stands up there and he says, now I'm just as helpless could be. He goes on, the next quote, he says, I cannot heal you. But he goes on a little further. He says, if Jesus was standing right here, he could not heal you. You're already healed. When Jesus died at the cross, he said, it's finished. What? He was wounded for our transgressions. Amen. With his stripes you were healed. The work is completely done. It's your faith in the finished work. Right. Now you can imagine if Jesus Christ was to walk in the building this morning with nail prints in his hands, and he stood up here in a flowing robe and a beard on his face, and he said, I'm Jesus, and he stood there and reached out his hands to you, that would certainly build our faith. But he couldn't heal us, because he's already healed you. All it would do is build our faith to see a physical manifestation of him, in the way that it would build our faith and say, oh my, he's here. Well, he is here.
Amen.
He's just here in the form of the Holy Spirit instead of a physical body. Brother Bram said that that corporal body sits on the right hand of God, but his Holy Spirit is here. And if you can recognize this morning that you may not see him standing here in a flesh body, because Brother Bram said the only hands that he has is our hands, and the only lips that he has is our lips, the only feet that he has is our feet. Why? Because he's using the body of Christ in that capacity at this time, the body of believers. So he's not here in a physical capacity for you to see him other than his picture over here, or the form of him and the Holy Spirit above Brother Branham and the pillar of fire over here. But if you can recognize that he's here,
amen.
That's not just something that I get up here and say, but he's here. We feel his presence. We see him healing the sick and doing all kinds of things. If he's here this morning, it should build our faith into a spot till we recognize even if he walked out here this morning, he couldn't do any more than what he can do through his Spirit this morning.
Amen.
Maybe your faith would be built a little more, but he's already done it. It's a finished work. Now, this same man that a few moments before had said, I'm helpless, as helpless can be. This same man that had said a few moments before, I can't heal you. If Jesus was here, he couldn't heal you. Now, just a few sentences later, he begins to speak, and it's his voice that's speaking, but you can tell by the words that it's not him that's speaking. He says, I'm the Lord that raised up Christ from the grave. I'm the one that sent the Holy Ghost. I'm the one that gave the promise. Brother Branham has nothing to do in this. I have. He surrendered his life to me. I'm using his Spirit. I'm talking through his lips. That's me. I'm the Lord. Come down. Glory to God. To think that a man could yield himself so much to God that God could come down and it not be William Branham's thoughts or not be William Branham's words, but God would take so complete control of his lips and of his tongue and of his mind and of his body until he could speak and say, now there's a lady back here. And he said, oh, I see a sign coming up. Oh, he said, it's Zion, Illinois, or wherever it would be. And I see a doctor. He's got horn-rimmed glasses. He's looking at your chart. He said, oh, excuse me. I paused there for a moment because I was trying to read what he had on the chart. And then he'd step back and he'd say, now, was what he said true? Was whatever he told you true? Whatever he told you, it was you saying it to me, Brother Branham. That's right. But it was somebody else speaking through him.
Amen.
Oh, my. Do we realize what took place in this age? To where he said, at one point he said, God grants me temporary resurrections so that my spirit can leave and his spirit can come in. And he said, oh, I'm so happy to yield my body to whatever he would want to do with it.
Amen.
That God could come and this man that had just a few moments before said, I'm as helpless can be, could turn around and say, I take every spirit under my control for the glory of God. What took place? Something had changed. He said, I was waiting for the angel to come. And he said, once he was there, he said he'd always be at the right of him. He said, that's why he had the people come to the right. And when they get up there, he'd say, now that won't hurt you. Now, there's been many of you that have come through the prayer line up here before, and maybe you felt the presence of the Lord, and maybe you've been healed, but I've never felt like I had to say, now that won't hurt you when you got into my presence. Because it wasn't so much just his presence that they were coming into, but the angel of the Lord standing there, they could physically feel something change about the presence. You know, Brother Branham said we're amateur creators. And he said there's something about it. You create an atmosphere around you. And you can get around somebody for just a few minutes and you walk into that atmosphere and you can tell whether it's a positive atmosphere or a negative atmosphere. We create that around us. Oh my. He said in Believing God in 1952, he said, and the only thing that kept me from being saved when I was 12 years old, because a spirit hung over me, a devil saying, wait a little while longer. That's the reason you wasn't saved when you become the age of accountability. A spirit you got with the crowd and that hovered over you and kept hanging over you. You wanted to do right. There's not a man that's got his right mind but what wants to do right. But there's something won't let you do right. Is that right? He said, that's the devil. Hallelujah. Christ paid your healing and your salvation. If you're sitting here this morning and Satan has tried to oppress you with something, and he's beat you up over it, maybe for years, maybe since you was a little child, you had a complex, or maybe something had happened in your childhood where something had taken place that scarred you, and you've dealt with that the rest of your life, or somebody disappointed you, or somebody treated you bad, and you've always had this shadow hanging over you, that you look back to that, and every time you try to get close to somebody, or every time you try to have confidence in anybody, there's this fear that rises up within you, and Satan begins to tell you, oh, you better not be too close to friends with that person. They might betray you, they might offend you, they might say something to hurt you. Oh yeah, they might. And they might also be a beloved friend that would be a friend closer than a brother to stick with you through life and be a help to you and an encouragement to you. We get so scared sometimes, but you can trust in him and he'll lead you. He'll lead you to who you can fellowship with and open up your friendships to. And then there's other people you have to keep your guard up with. We realize that. But he'll lead you. Have confidence in him this morning. Other times, maybe you've sat and maybe you've been in church and you felt the presence of the Lord. And maybe you've wanted to accept deliverance for something that you've struggled with. Or maybe you've wanted to accept your healing. But it just seemed like you couldn't ever get your faith to build to that level that you felt like you could accept it. Maybe you've always struggled with whether you were saved or not because you couldn't get your faith to the level where you could accept it. May God move back all the doubt from you this morning is my prayer, so that you can accept what he's done for you. He goes on a little further. He said, now here it is. You get ready. He commissioned his church to cast them devils out. There you are. In my name they shall cast out devils. Now listen. He says, you ain't going to heal nobody, but you're going to cast the devil away from them so they can accept their healing. I've already done, he said. Jesus said, you ain't going to go heal nobody. You're going to cast the devil out so that you can move that away from them so they can accept what I've already done for them. Amen. It's already finished.
Amen.
You sick this morning? He's already paid the price.
Amen.
You lost this morning. You need a touch of the Holy Ghost. You need more of him in your life. It's already finished. If you can just move back that little bit of doubt that's hindering you from it. I don't believe Brother Branham minced words or that he just said things randomly. And he would make statements like this. He'd say, he wants you to be healed more than you want to be healed.
Right.
Now, can you imagine a person laying on a cot? Maybe they've got cancer so bad that they can't even lift up their hand, so weak in body and so thin. And he looks down at them laying at the cot and says, he wants to heal you more than you want to be healed. And they want to be healed. They're laying there thinking, oh, Lord, you know how much I want to be healed. But what's he trying to do? He can't stand there and heal them, but he's trying to build their faith to a level to move back the doubt and move back the fear so they can accept what's already been done. He said in another place, he said, he wants to give you the Holy Ghost more than you want to receive it.
Right.
And many times we think, oh, Lord, you know, I'd really like to have the Holy Ghost, but I just don't know if it's for me. No, he wants you to have it more than you want to have it. If you can just move back the fear and doubt and unbelief this morning and accept it.
Yes.
He says, preachers stood on the platform and preached the gospel. Devils scatter. The man come to the altar under conviction, say, I want to get saved. He never saved the man. He cast out the devil, that's right. And the man got saved. He come accepted his salvation. Remember when Mr. Best challenged him there in the Sam Houston Coliseum and Brother Bosworth came down, he said, bring down that divine healer. And Brother Bosworth told him, he said, Mr. Best, he said, you wouldn't want to be called a divine savior, would you, because you preach divine, because you preach salvation. And he said, no more would Brother Branham want to be called a divine healer just because he preaches healing. And so it wasn't that any man can come and heal you, but what it is that he would cast out the devil on the person long enough for them to accept what had already been done on them. The preaching of the word will drive those enemies back.
Amen.
Remember, Jesus taught us that when he went down and he confronted the devil. Brother Bram said he could have used any of his power. He could have cast the devil 40 miles away and said, just leave me alone. He could have spoke him out of existence. He could have put him on the other side of the world, whatever he wanted to do. But he said he didn't use any of his great power. He just kept saying, it is written. It is written. It is written. You can face him the same way this morning. If he says, oh, you'll never make it, you can tell him, I've been made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Amen. If he says, oh, you'll never get healed, you can say, by his stripes, I'm already healed. You just face him with the word. He'll get tired of hearing it. Brother Bram said he got in the car that one time. He said the devil got right in the car with him. And he said he went driving down the road. And he said, well, if you're going to sit here, I'm going to sing gospel hymns to you. He said, finally, he got enough and left. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, Jesus talks about how that when an unclean spirit leaves a man, that that unclean spirit would walk in dry places seeking a rest and finding a home. Remember, Brother Branham tells us this way. He said that Satan is powerless unless he has somebody to work through. And he said the same thing for the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit is looking for somebody to work through. And he said when Satan is cast out of somebody, that's why he would have when he was praying for an epileptic spirit or a deaf child or a blind spirit or something like that, he would have the people bow their heads because that spirit would try to go from one to another because that spirit was looking for another home that it could go to. And he said many times he'd be up there and he'd be praying for somebody, maybe cancer or whatever it would be, and he would pray for that cancer spirit. And he'd say, now, wait a minute. And it wasn't the people's. I love this because the devil's so dumb sometimes. And he thinks he's going to do something and he just exposes himself. But it wasn't so much sometimes the people's faith out there, but many times he would pray for a cancer demon on this person. He'd say, now, wait a minute. He said, you over there, you had cancer too, didn't you? Or whatever it would be. He said that other demon was crying out for help to this one because he knew he was going to be exposed. And he was crying out to these other cancer demons. He said, you over here and you over there that had it. He said, you're healed too. Satan exposed himself trying to cry out for help. Right. And the prophet of God exposed it, said, oh, that demon's crying out too. And so these unclean spirits, when they leave somebody, they go trying to seek somebody else that they can go on. And Jesus said, if it can't find a home to go to, it returns back to the home that it lived in, the person that it was on before. And it finds the steps swept and everything garnished. And it brings seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they enter in and dwell. And the last state of the man is worse than the first state that he found him in. That was what Jesus said about it. Many times we get prayed for and we're sick and you begin to feel a little bit better. Remember what Brother Branham taught us. He told the people, he said, that's why you need to come to have the instructions by Brother Baxter and Brother Moore and the different brothers there that morning. Brother Branham had taught them how to teach the people about accepting healing. And he said, oh, you know, when you get healed, he said, you go out, you brothers that hunt, you go out here and you kill a dog or see a dog killed on the side of the road out here. And he said, you find out, he said, it'll swell up after a few days and it'll be bigger than it ever was. He said the same thing happens when somebody's prayed for. He said that cataract or cancer or whatever it is, it begins to shrink because the life goes out of it. But then in 2 or 3 days later, it begins to swell up. He said, you're sicker than you ever was. You think, oh, I lost my healing. Oh, I lost my sight again, whatever it would be. He said, that's the best sign that you received your healing. See, there's a difference in a miracle and divine healing. A miracle, somebody can come up here and accept it and it be gone and be gone completely and never touch them again. But divine healing, many times it's a progress. The Brother Bram said the bloodstream and things has to purify those dead cells when they die. And so many times people would come and they'd receive their healing and then they'd think a few days later, oh Lord, I'm sicker than I ever was. Now, if that's true in the natural, remember the spiritual always types the natural. Many times when you come up and you get saved or you receive the Holy Ghost or you get delivered from something, many times that old spirit will try to come back on you and he'll keep trying to come back on you and keep trying to come back on you. And you have to keep claiming deliverance and victory over that thing or he'll just bring seven more demons right back on you. Brother Bram said demonology in the physical realm, 1953, he said when a demon is cast out of a sick person, the first few days, oh, I feel wonderful. Then begin to say, I'm sicker than I ever was. I've lost my healing. He said, just as sure as faith took it out, Unbelief brings it right back again. As faith kills it, unbelief resurrects it. Jesus said, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walks in dry places and he returns back with seven other devils. And if the good man of the house isn't standing there to protect that door, he'll come right on in. And the good man of your house is faith. Say, stay away. That's it. So whatever you're struggling with this morning, why don't you just accept what God's already done for you and then let the good man of faith stand there at the door. And when Satan tries to put that thing back on you and you begin to doubt again, you begin to worry again, you begin to fear again, you begin to think, oh Lord, what if I didn't really get my healing? What if I didn't really get deliverance? What if this? What if that? Look at these other circumstances I'm facing now, Lord. You better be careful or that thing will come right back and be worse than it ever was. But you keep the man of faith at the door there and you keep the word of God before the enemy and you keep telling him, I don't care what you say, Satan, you're a liar and the father of it, and my Jesus wants me to be well and physically just as well as I am spiritually, and he came and died to save me, he came and died to heal me, he wants good things for me, he wants me to have peace, he wants me to have victory, he wants me to have joy. You know, he didn't create us to mope around the earth like a bunch of sauerkrauts or whatever you want to call it. People come around the message, they look so downtrodden. You meet them in Meijer or Walmart, they've got a frown on their face. Oh, did you hear what happened the other day? And this and that, and always down to the dumps, no joy. They feel like they've been robbed of everything. They can't go do this anymore, and they can't go do that anymore. I do everything that I want to do. Quiet in here. I do everything I want to. I don't want to go down to the bar rooms, and I don't want to drink alcohol and smoke cigarettes and do drugs and run around with prostitutes and all these things that these people do out here. I don't want to do those things. I do exactly what I want to do, but I want to serve him. That's what I want to do. I want his will. I want to die to my will. I want his will to be done. So as a Christian, we can do that. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I just can't do anything anymore. What do you want to do? Oh, I'd sure like to wear them shorts again, wear those pants. Oh, you mean you're not a believer? My, it gets so quiet in here sometimes. I don't like to amen myself, but sometimes I feel like I have to. If you really believed, you wouldn't want to do these things that the word condemns. Oh, but I sometimes just wish I could go get this or go do that or go do this. Well, you just need more of the Holy Ghost and you won't want to do those things anymore. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he asks for. Brother Luke's telling me I didn't change it. I'm sorry. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Whatsoever he saith. You have a need this morning? Now let me just clarify again. We're not preaching name it and claim it. This doesn't mean if you want a Lamborghini, you just name it and claim it and go out there and get it. But what this means is if you have a need, you have a desire, something in your life that you need God to move on the scene, there's a mountain in your way to get to that, to get to your healing, or to get to that loved one that's gone astray, or whatever it would be. You can ask him. Remember he said, you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss. Many times we're just asking all kinds of things that he knows we don't really need after all. But if you really have a desire, and you get desperate before God, and it's something that you have need of for your health, or your spiritual walk, or for your family, he didn't say it would happen then. He didn't say speak and that mountain will just, you know, in 37 seconds be gone. But he said you speak and it'll come to pass whatsoever he saith. Now Brother Bram said many times when you speak, he said maybe just a few little pebbles roll off the backside of the mountain, but he said it's beginning to move right then. Amen. If we could just accept it. Abraham wanted a son. And he waited 25 years for it, but he didn't waver in his faith. He didn't say after the first 9 months, oh, I guess it was wrong. I guess we're just really not going to have a baby after all. But it said his faith just continued. He began to grow in the faith because he'd look over and tell Sarah, you know, if it was a miracle 11 years ago, how much more of a miracle is it going to be now? If it was a miracle 17 years ago, how much more is it going to be a miracle now? If it was a miracle 24 years and 9 months and 6 days ago, how much more is it going to be a miracle now? And finally, he received the promise. Oh my, if we could have faith like that this morning. Getting in the Spirit, 1961. He said, it's already there. Only thing you have to do is just move the cause. The cure is already performed. He said, just move the cause because the cure is already performed. Now, what is the cause? You say, why am I sick this morning, Brother Nathan? Why don't I have these things? Move the cure. He said, move the cause because the cure is already performed. If your faith can reach to a level to just move the cause, you say, oh, the doctor says I got this and this and this and this wrong for me. Oh, but it's really just a spirit that's on you in the physical realm. You say, oh, you mean I'm demon possessed? No. Brother Bram said there's a difference in demon oppression and demon possession. Demon possession is on your spirit to try to get in and attack your spirit or attack your mind. He said it can't get to that soul because the soul's eternal. He said in demonology, he said that a person could be completely insane and still have the Holy Ghost because this up here don't have anything to do with this down here. But yet somebody could have a physical or maybe a nervous oppression or maybe some type of a spirit that they're dealing with of temptation or something. And that demon could oppress that person and come down and try to cause them troubles, try to cause them all kinds of issues in their life, cause them family problems. Cause them mental problems, cause them physical problems, whatever it would be. But it's just a demon that's on that person. Jesus didn't come down and say, it's tuberculosis, it's cancer, it's leukemia, it's all these different things. He said it's an evil spirit that's on them. And the doctors have given all these different things names. Brother Branham said, if you could look into the spirit world and see those things, he said, you know, a cancer looked like a crab and different ones looked like different things and made different sounds and things. And that's hard for our mind to even understand the things that he could see in that other dimension. But he said, when you get in there, you can actually physically see those spirits hanging around those people. Many times he'd say, oh, you had a dark cloud around you, but now it's light around you because you're healed. And he could see those things. But what was it? It was a spirit, a demon in the physical realm that was attacking the person. If we can just get the cause moved back, the cure is already paid for. Amen. He said, God's already healed you. You just have to get your unbelief out of the way. That's the vision. He said, I say that in the name of the Lord, the same as Elisha said it that day. Thus saith the Lord, get your unbelief out of the way. Watch what'll take place. Amen. Now that wasn't just for 1961 when he said this. But that's for you this morning. Amen. What he said, I don't believe was just for the congregations that he was preaching to. But I believe the things that he said, many of the things didn't even make sense probably to the people back then. And when he would say in 1962 and 1964 that homosexuality is on the increase 30% this year, they look around and say, you know any homosexuals? Brother Layton and my dad and Brother Hoover and some of these brothers, Brother Hamby and different ones, if they would have found one in their school, they would have probably taken him out to the woodshed and tried to beat that spirit off of him. But today, people welcome it. And they glorify it. And I read in the news the other day, there was a little 7-year-old boy that his mom would send him little slips of scriptures to read in his lunchbox. And he got to read them at his lunch. And some of the kids began to ask him, what are you reading? And so he began to read them to them at lunch. And the kids enjoyed him so much that he began to bring them in his lunchbox for them and hand them out to everybody. And the sheriff came to his door and knocked on his door and told his family, you need to stop sending those scriptures and your boy reading that at lunch or we're going to prosecute you. But if he wanted to tell them that he was transgender and used the little girl's restroom, they would have probably said, oh, glory, glory, we praise you. That's the world that we live in. Brother Branham was talking about it being in a Sodom and Gomorrah condition in 1962, and people looked around thinking, what on earth is he talking about? But he was speaking, I believe, to this age that we live in now. He was able to look down the road, and we look around and see the things that he said being manifested. He talked about cars driving themselves, and they looked around and scratched their heads, but we look around and see it. How the GPS and different things, they've got it tracking now to where Google even has a car that they've drove in Las Vegas and all around by itself exactly the way that he described it. We've showed the slides here at the church and different things. He spoke it back then in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, but we see it being manifested today. So if it's that way in that manner, what about the good things that he spoke? What about the healing and the good things that he said that we could have and all the things that was promised to the bride? I believe that's for this day as well. So when he says that, thus saith the Lord, you get all your unbelief out of the way and watch what will take place, I believe that applies to you this morning. Amen. letting off the pressure in 1963. He said, oh, he's talking about how, let me go back in just a moment. He's talking about here how that he took little Sarah to the zoo in Cincinnati, and he began to see the eagle fly up and bust his head and things and all those different things. And he begins to talk about how an eagle would get a calcium buildup when it got old, and how it would begin to cover its beak to where it couldn't breathe right and it couldn't eat right and all these different things. And he said, but if that eagle will go and begin to beat his head against that rock and beat that beak, then it'll begin to break that off, and he'll begin to renew his youth again. And he said, oh, but I know a rock that a man can come to and beat and be beat until all the doubt is gone, until the worry and cares of the world is gone, and when he's beat the crust of sin from around him, until the blood has sanctified his soul, then eternal life is sure to come. He can just sit back and let off the pressure because eternal life is sure.
Amen.
Jesus said in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Now we've sang it and we've sang it and we've sang it, but I wonder if it ever really enters way down on the inside, that all things are possible to him that believeth.
Amen.
And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. We believe this morning. We believe this morning. We believe God sent a prophet. We believe these things are true. But Lord, help our unbelief. If there's something in the way that maybe we believe, you know, in the prophet, we believe in God sending his son to save us, and we believe in all these different things, but maybe it's our own self that we have trouble believing in, that we don't have enough faith to rise up above, and we begin to doubt our own faith, or we begin to doubt our neighbors around us, that, oh my, I just don't know if I can trust them. I don't know if I can fellowship with them. I don't know if I can ever have confidence in anybody. Move back all the fear. Move back all the doubt. Lord, help our unbelief this morning. Help our unbelief this morning. He said all things are possible. And we sing it, and we sing not only that, but they're possible because Jesus is here. But if he could open up our eyes spiritually this morning, I believe we'd feel like Elisha, Gehazi, when Elisha turned to him and said, there's more with us than there are with them. If we could open up our spiritual eyes of understanding and see what God is doing, what God's trying to do for you this morning, that he's trying to lift us up, not because Brother Nathan preached or not because we got up and sang some songs, but because that we have the Word and we have the truth and we have the Holy Spirit here to manifest the truth. If we can just rise up out of our doubt and unbelief long enough to accept what's already been done, we can walk out of here healed. We can walk out of here delivered. We can walk out of here with peace and joy and victory. You don't have to walk out of here disappointed this morning. Demonology, 1953, he said, if you could only take a spiritual looking glass and look into your soul, you doubt and you'd find out what it looks like. And the greatest devil and the chief of all devils is unbelief. Remember, he said that's the only sin. He said all these other things, smoking, lying, cheating, committing adultery, drinking, drugs, all those things. He said that's just attributes of unbelief. But he said the only sin is unbelief. And he said, if you could look into your soul when you unbelieve, when you disbelieve something, he said, that's the chief of all the devils. The greatest of the devils is unbelief. I had a dream the other night, and I was at a brother's church, and there was a little boy coming through the door, and the brother had been counseling with him and trying to encourage the family. He was going through some things, and in the dream, the brother had told the little boy, he said, it's not a spiritual problem. This is just a mental problem that Satan's trying to mentally oppress you with. And the little boy was coming in the front door, and as I was standing there, I told him, he was just crying because he was so upset about the condition he was in. I said, Brother Branham said, every doubt, I doubt my doubts. Every doubt, I doubt my doubts. And I woke up and I forgot about the dream. And I was studying for this sermon and I ran across that quote again. Every doubt, I doubt my doubts. I thought, my, isn't it wonderful that I'm quoting Brother Branham in my subconscious?
Amen.
Oh, I love that. Quoted it word for word. Every doubt, I doubt my doubts. I thought, glory. Satan tries to battle you all kinds of different ways, and even my subconscious is quoting the word to him. The greatest battle ever fought, 1962. He said, open up that mind. That's the battleground. There is where the battle sets in array. Right here in the front line, your mind. Open it up and say, every doubt, I doubt my doubts. Amen. I'm doubting my doubts now. I'm believing God's word. Here I come, Satan. Something is going to take place. Sure it will. Yes, sir. Amen. You have doubts this morning? Has Satan tried to lie to you and tell you there's mistakes in the message, or this is wrong or that's wrong, or tried to point you, oh, look at brother so-and-so over here, or this one over here that fell, or that one fell? Instead of doubting all this, why don't you doubt your doubts? You worried this morning because the doctors told you something and they've given up hope on you, or they're telling you, oh, you might have this or you might have that. Instead of doubting the word, why don't you doubt your doubts? You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I've just struggled. I've had this temptation. I've had this problem in my life. It's just a spiritual problem that Satan's constantly coming and attacking me. I've had it since I was a child. Well, stop doubting the word and doubt your doubts. There's promises in the word for deliverance. There's promises in the word for healing. There's promises in the word that we'll be victorious and that we would have joy and peace and long-suffering, all these spiritual attributes. Why don't you start doubting your doubts this morning and stop doubting what God has promised for you? Amen. Move back all the doubt. If you can this morning, we'll see something take place. We'll hear testimonies come forth from it. If you can just move back all the doubt. How am I going to do it, Brother Nathan? Stop depending on this and start depending on Him. Amen. If the musicians would come, I hope with the Holy Spirit's presence here this morning, your faith can be built to a level to where you can doubt your doubts. To where if you have a need of something, you can walk out of here and the need will be gone. You'll have what you have need of. I believe He's here to meet those needs this morning. Let's sing this together. Oh, I know it's already done. Hallelujah, it's already done. So I praise His name. My battle is over. Victory is won. It's already done. Oh, if you can only believe this morning. Oh, it's already done. I know it's already done. I know it's already. He already paid the price. Oh, yes, it's already done. My battle is over. My victory is won. It's already done. Let's sing it this way this morning. Oh, I know I shall overcome. I know I shall overcome, and I'll praise His name. This battle is over, this victory is won, it's already done. Oh, I know it's already done. Whatever you have need of, I know it's already done. We praise Your name. My battle is over. This victory is won. It's already done. Do you need healing this morning? Let's sing it this way. Oh, I'm already healed. Oh, by His stripes. Oh, I'm already healed. So I praise His name. This battle is over. It's already done. Oh, may your faith just build this morning. Let's sing it again that way. I'm already healed. It's a finished work. He paid it at Calvary. Oh, and I praise His name. My battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done. Does your family need saved? Oh, my family. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We praise Your name. This battle is over. Oh, my, why don't you just apply the token? put it in God's hands, and then you can sing it this way. Oh, yes, my family is sealed. Oh, hallelujah, my family is sealed. So I praise his name. This battle, it's over. Satan victory, it's been won. Oh, it's already done. Boo, devil. Oh, yes, it's already done. Oh, he's here this morning. If you have a need this morning, why don't you stand up and accept it by faith? Whatever you have need of. You need healing, he's here. You need salvation, he's here. You're looking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's for you. Whatever you have need of. You have financial problems, he's already taking care of it. There's something coming down the road for you. You need a job, he said he'd provide for you. Oh, what do you have need of this morning, children? Oh, just accept it by faith. Oh, the victory is won. It's already done. Oh, yes, Lord, I know it's already done. Lord, I know it's already done. Oh, this battle is over. You need deliverance? He's here to deliver. You need your victory back. You need the joy of your salvation. He wants you to have it. I know it's already done. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. Grant deliverance this morning, Father. Healing for your people, Lord. Oh, if there's any that's depressed, Lord, may you encourage him this morning. If there's any that's discouraged, Lord, may you move back every shadow of fear and doubt. If there's any that's sick, Lord, we plead your blood this morning. It's a finished work at Calvary. Oh, may Satan not be able to hold them back any longer from what you have for them, Lord. May they accept it by faith this morning. Not because of what Nathan Bryan said, but because of what you said, Lord. You said all things are possible. Oh, we accept it this morning by faith. Lord, mountains will move. We believe that we can just accept it. Lord, if there's a mountain of sickness in their path, may you move it back. If there's mountains of doubt or unbelief or sin or besetting things that would hinder their walk with you, Lord, may you move back the cause, Father, and help them to accept the cure this morning, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, he's here this morning. What do you have need of? Just accept it by faith. He's here. Oh, I know it's already done. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. My battle is over. Victory is won. Can your faith build up to a place where you can say, I'm already healed. Oh, it's a finished work, Lord. I'm already healed. I praise your name. The battle is over. Oh, maybe Satan's tried to fight you, tried to lie to you about your family. Don't worry about them no more. Say they're already sealed. Oh, hallelujah, my family. I praise your name. My battle is over. Oh, do you need victory over something in your life? Let's sing it this way. Oh, I know I shall overcome. Oh, whatever's in your way, I shall overcome. And I'll praise his name. My battle is over. Yes, Father. It's already done. Let's sing it again. Oh, I know it's already done.
We praise your name. The battle is over. Victory is won.
Yes.
It's already done. Oh, I know it's already done. it's already done. Oh, I know it's already done. Hallelujah, it's already done. We praise your name. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done. I know I will overcome. Hallelujah, I will overcome.
Anyone needs prayer this
we
morning?
Praise your name. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done. Well, I'll stand for Jesus.
This morning, oh, it's my desire to be like Jesus. Oh, it's my desire to be like Him. Lord, often Lord, I brought you much shame, but it's my desire to be like Him. Oh, if you could see where my Jesus brought me from. Sing it again. Oh, if you could see.
Failed here. I brought him a chain. It's my desire to be like him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why.
Sing it this way together. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who might have failed to see the way. You see, I too once, I was so lost. Oh, but thank God I found this way. Now it's my desire to be like Him. Oh, if you could see where my Jesus brought me from, where I am today, you know the reason. I believe we'll hear testimonies come back, things that happened in the service this morning. Amen. I believe He's here to deliver whatever you have need of, heal, save. He's here. Amen. What are you going to do when the testimony comes forth? Oh, we'll give all the glory to you.
only one that's worthy.
Oh, I want to tell of his love. I want to tell. Oh, yes, we'll give all the glory. And we'll tell of his wonderful love. Oh, we will give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll tell of his love. Oh, we'll tell of his love. We will give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll tell of his wonderful love. Oh, yes, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We will tell.
Let's sing it as we go. God bless you.
Oh, yes, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll tell of his love. Yes, we'll tell of his love. Yes, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And tell.
Is love, we will give.